Britain. Railways. A fatter controller. A former champion of rail privatisation is lurching the opposite way.
When Britain's railways were nationalised for the first time in 1948, politicians steamed. Conservative peers called it a most ghastly mistake and by far the biggest measure of socialism which had ever been proposed in the world outside Russia. By contrast, the new government's renationalisation programme is chugging along quietly. A bill to bring passenger train operations into public ownership passed its second reading in the House of Commons on July 29th, following a thinly attended debate. Polls show that most people, including most Conservative voters, approve. This smooth passage is a surprise, because if you take a long view, Britain is doing something extraordinary. In the 1990s, a Conservative government dismembered British Rail, which had run the railways since nationalisation, and embarked on a radical programme of privatisation. Once the new government has finished its work, Britain will end up with one of the rich world's most centrally controlled railways. That may not leave it better off. The government's plans are in two parts, and will take two bills to achieve. First comes the renationalisation of passenger services. At present, most intercity trains are run by firms that contract with the Department for Transport. As their contracts expire or reach breakpoints, the department will not renew them. All the services should be in public hands by October 2027. A second bill will create Great British Railways, a powerful quango that will oversee train operations, railway infrastructure, and much else. If this does not seem like a lurch, it is partly because of what has happened in the past few years. Since 2018, the Department for Transport has taken over four railway franchises from companies that ran into trouble. Most of the remaining private train operators are firmly under the state's thumb. They used to have considerable freedom to innovate and set ticket prices, but lost it when the state bailed them out during the COVID-19 pandemic. Effectively, the railway is already nationalised, says Andy Bagnall, the head of Rail Partners, which represents train operators. Another reason for the smooth journey to central control is that almost nobody likes the current arrangements. Poor coordination between private train operators, Network Rail, which looks after the infrastructure, and other parts of the system wrecked the transition to a new timetable in 2018. Innovations like digital signalling, which ought to allow more trains to run on a line, are far harder than they should be. Andrew Haynes, Network Rail's boss, recently called the introduction of digital signalling on one short stretch of track as close to impossible as anything I've ever encountered in my life. Even so, Britain is travelling in an unusual direction. Under pressure from the EU, other European countries are allowing more room for private operators. Long-distance trains in France remain a virtual state monopoly, but in May, the regulator approved a deal that will allow a private company to compete. The firm's name, Kevin Speed, evokes the Porsche-driving, wide-tied chancers who appeared in Britain in the era of privatisation and deregulation. Britons probably like the idea of renationalisation because they believe it will improve performance. If it creates a more integrated railway, with better coordination between infrastructure and train operation, they might be proved right. But running a railway is not easy, as the previous government showed over the course of recent years. The Office of Rail and Road, a regulator, tracks the performance of 24 passenger railway operators. Over the year to March 2024, three of the franchises run by the Department for Transport were among the top five with the most cancellations, if you include services removed from the schedule in advance, not just on the day they were due to run. Nor has the state managed to respond intelligently to the railway's greatest problem, the huge changes in travel patterns since the pandemic. railway journeys are still one-tenth lower than in 2019, despite the popularity of the new Elizabeth Line in southeast England. As office drones have taken to working from home, season ticket sales have collapsed by two-thirds. In 2021, the government tried to lure people back by introducing a new flexible season ticket, but sales have been slow. Other troubles lie ahead. The calamity of HS2, an endlessly overrunning infrastructure project, means less money for other initiatives and perhaps less confidence that Britain is capable of transforming its railways. A few hours before the Railway Nationalisation Bill passed its second reading in the Commons, the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, nixed a scheme that might have brought some old railway lines back into use. Meanwhile, metropolitan mayors such as Andy Burnham in Greater Manchester and Sadiq Khan in London are demanding more control over railway services in their territories. Renationalisation and the creation of Great British Railways might only end up providing travelling Britons with new targets for their anger.